welcome to worship at Advent. Let's do what the banner says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
What a relief that we are free from the tyranny of our hearts and our minds. God is the only source of truth and wisdom. We may trust his word, instruction, and care above all else. A reading from the book of Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 1. Let us read it joyfully together. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners,
nor sat in the seat of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord,
and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water,
bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither.
Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked.
They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes,
nor the sinners in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed.
Being raised from death is not a euphemism or a fairy tale story. It is nothing other than the gospel truth. Our hope is rooted in the power of God's love over all evil, even over the evil of death. A reading from the book, 1 Corinthians. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him. In fact, then the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. For if only this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. In the reading from Jeremiah, the reading from the Psalm, and now in the Gospel from Luke, we hear the word blessed. And blessed is it's an outward condition of God's provision, but it's also really an attitude of the heart. And it's the combination of both that leads to true joy and happiness. I'm reading from Luke 6, starting at verse 17. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. All the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming out from him and healing them all. And turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." The Gospel of the Lord. Give you just a note about next week. Next week, my brother will be here with us, and he'll be sharing the sermon time with me. But I encourage you to bring coffee, bring a snack, because he tends to go longer than I do. But don't tell him that. This morning, I want to take you to Psalm 1, where we heard earlier when we read it together about the fact of what it means to be blessed. In the NIV, it says happy is the first word, but it's that place where I know that I have provision and protection from the Lord on the outside, and internally I understand that all my needs are met in Jesus. So it's the foundation of a blessed life that I want to talk about. And Psalm 1 presents two ways, a way that goes forever into eternity, and one way that, as it says in the psalm at the end, one way that is doomed in judgment. When I took my oath as a new citizen of the country, one of the things that stuck with me in that time of preparation was the Declaration of Independence, that God has endowed all men with the inalienable right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit is where we want to go today. How do you pursue happiness or a state of blessedness? There are two ways that start at the same place, but the end point is very different. In the book of Matthew, Jesus talked about the way, and he says in chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Two separate paths. I want life. That's the way that God's word advocates that we take. But it's always a choice. The decisions that we make, that which we follow, leads to that path that will lead us into our future. And a part of what to me is so important to understand is that the scripture talks about sinners. And in Hebrew, that word, it's an archery term that means missing the mark. I know what the target is, but with the way that I'm living, I'm missing the mark. Now, the point is that we have all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. If you hadn't fallen short, you wouldn't be here today. So we understand that we have failed. But after we have come to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we're beginning to walk in a way beyond that, where I understand that I'm under the grace of God, but I still want to walk and live in a way that guides me to the higher path that leads to eternity. And two thoughts for you that I want to share with you today. One is that who and what we listen to matters tremendously. Who and what we listen to matters tremendously and determines the path that we take. What do you listen to the most? What do you read the most? Who are your favorite authors? Who are the friends that you value the most? Paul says in Ephesians 4, I urge you who have been chosen to live up to the life that God has called you to. Live up to the life that you've been called to. Don't live beneath God's provision for your life. And here's something that I found really to be important when our kids were younger, that you could tell what their mental and heart attitude was by looking at their friends. What were their friends like? My brother and I have talked about this. When he was in high school, he went with a crowd that didn't do well at school and that regularly got in trouble at school. And our parents were concerned about that. By God's grace, that is not the direction that he went at all. But when you look at who your children's friends are, who your friends are, it shapes the direction you're going in because you listen to your friends. And so you want to make sure that the people that you listen to are not taking you away from your faith and taking you to a darker spot in terms of thought. Your friends will shape you. They will help give direction. When our kids were younger, we went camping whenever we could, both in school and then after at my Uru churches, and it was tent camping. And we would go bike riding on trails, we would go hiking. And one day, this was while we lived on Long Island, we went to a more remote place where there was a beautiful hiking trail. And mid-afternoon, I took the two older kids out. We had a great time. We explored, we talked. And when it was getting close to dusk, I thought we should maybe go home. And rather than going all the way back that we had come on the trail, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we just cut through the deep woods to get there more quickly? Turns out, my internal compass, I had left at camp. I got my kids and myself so lost that we must have gone around in circles because the kids would say, Daddy, haven't we seen that tree before? No, I'm sure it's a different tree. It just looks the same. And by God's grace, we had camped, set our tent up near a river. And off in the distance, when it was getting harder to see, I saw a river. And so we went toward it. And I said to the kids, see, I knew where we were going. I was lying. But point being, we found the river, and I had to guess which direction was home. And again, by God's grace, we got there just in time for a campfire. And Tammy asked the question, so did you guys have fun? Yes, Mommy, but I think Daddy got us lost. Yeah, they were right. But I did not have that sense of direction. And I thought it might be really good to take a shortcut. And sometimes people live like that, that they're going with the flow, they're not exactly sure where they're going, and sometimes you get lost in the deep woods. When it comes to Psalm 1, talking about the blessed life, the foundation of life, it's compared to a tree that's planted intentionally by a river that will feed the roots of the tree so that whether it's a rainy season or a dry season, that the tree will have nourishment. And like that tree, I don't want to live my life like that camping trip, unsure where I'm going or what's the right direction for me. I want to make sure that I'm following in the pathway that the Lord says is good for my life. Personal nourishment is like the water from the river that nourishes the tree. My personal nourishment comes from God's word. It also comes from believers who are going in the same direction I do. It doesn't come from people who live in the world and who sometimes get lost in the deep woods. We want to reach out to them, but our center has to be God's word and people like us who are going in the same direction. Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world. Don't follow that hiking trail that goes perhaps nowhere. Follow the pathway that the Lord has provided for you. The truth is, our life is not a popularity contest or one to be determined by the latest poll that we ought to go this way or that way. Our life has a direction, and it has an ultimate goal, which is heaven with the Lord. And we want to make sure that we are walking in a pathway that leads to life. Loving God's word, it's more than just reading it. It's more than memorizing scripture. It's more than being at church. It includes obeying it. James says, if you don't do what it says, you're kidding yourself. You'll be like Pablo in the deep woods. You won't know where you're going. So it's so important that we have good friends, we have good input in our lives, which is God's word, and then third, that we follow what that advice is and what the word says about life. So number one, what we listen to and who we listen to shapes our lives and determines what path we take. And then second, as we walk toward eternity, there will be seasons in our lives that will change, but God's word never changes. When Tammy and I were first married, everything was perfect. Nothing on my body sagged. Things have changed, ladies and gentlemen. But point being, we want to prepare our lives not just for the spring and summertime of our lives, but for the seasons of winter as well. Yesterday, my brother and I hosted a game night for some friends. It was February 16th was my brother's wife's birthday. She had died at the end of December. And my wife had died 3 years ago on Linda's birthday. And so we decided, rather than just letting that day go by, why don't we honor our wives and invite our friends over for food and fellowship? And it was a really good thing for us. Our perspective is not on just the summer of our lives, but it's on eternity. And so for both of us, I mean, I'm obviously much further down the road than my brother is in dealing with being a widower, but there will be dry, dead times in our lives, like winter right now. And so we need to prepare by nourishing ourselves, by making sure that our life, like a tree, is planted by the river of living water so that even when it's dry, we don't dry up, that we continue to draw from God's word. And the truth is, no amount of planning, no amount of money can prevent winter times in our lives. It happens. Art's been in one, a dry, wintry time where he was limited in his life. But by being deep in God's word, we can get through times of drought and times of deadness to get to that place where God is our joy. And we understand that even though sometimes it's harder on the outside, on the inside we're blessed. David said in Psalm 4:7, "You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine." In other words, he had found a place to be planted where he had greater inner blessing and peace than those who had an abundance on the outside. And it's ironic how the winter and drought seasons of our lives can actually deepen our walk with the Lord. That as we go through those times that are not the most joyful, we can learn to dig deeper and get spiritual nourishment from that water that has to be searched down in the soil of our lives. The Bible says the way of the righteous is carefully guided and protected by the Lord. Doesn't mean that even the best of believers don't struggle at times. Of course we do. We live in a fallen, fractured world. But we can prepare for those times of struggle by living near the river, by not living in the deep woods, by living in that place where the Lord is present. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." That day is coming. We're living for it, but we want to live in such a way that our path is going toward the presence of the Lord, not going into the world. It changes everything. I want to close with this. It's a quote I saw this morning from A.W. Tozer, and perhaps it speaks to you a little bit. He says, "O God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I'm painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire, O God. I want to want thee." Aren't there times in your life where you know that prayer and fellowship and reading God's word is so good for you, but you're feeling apathetic? And Tozer is saying that. I really want more. I want to be thirstier than I am right now. Will you confess that to the Lord? "Oh God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made thirstier still. Give me grace to rise up and follow thee." And I encourage you, wherever you are, ask the Lord to make you thirstier, to want more of him, because it's all a part of preparation for what's to come, so that when the struggling times come, we have stockpiled, if you will, God's word in our lives so that we are able to flourish and be blessed internally, even though when it doesn't appear so on the outside. Let's continue our service by sharing together our faith by confessing the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God,
true God from true God, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
prayers of the people this morning are Form 5, which can be found on page 7 in your bulletins. You are encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that your divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord, especially for those on Advent's prayer list. We ask for health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, George, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Michael, Bill and Judy, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, and for the Friends of Advent, healing for Tony, the Eliza Jennings residents, for Sylvia, for Kayleen, for Jack Morgan. Lord, have mercy. For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord our God. And we will pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us.
Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit.
We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgiving you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's stand up and share that with one another. God bless you. John, peace. Was it John? Good morning, young lady. Peace.
I know, it's like, okay.
Peace of the Lord. God bless you. Lord bless you. Hey, young lady, peace. And with you. Hello, guys. Good to see you. Jan, and with you?
Jerry, tell me true, are you not going to be here in the month of April?
Right. Going to be in Florida.
I'm going to be gone the month of March.
I heard that.
As soon as I get back, then you'll be gone. Well, enjoy yourself.
Well, somebody has to stay.
I know.
And so we'll take turns.
But I wish you were going to be here.
Lord bless you.
Pastor Paul.
Hey, young lady, peace.
Peace be with him.
Peace, Pastor Paul.
And with you, Sharon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this morning, let me correct something in the bulletin. We are not doing Babylon today. We are doing GIFT today. So GIFT is our acronym for Growing in Faith Together. And Denise, I think, is going to tell us about what GIFT topic we're discussing today.
Rejection by people close in our lives, our family members.
Thank you, Denise. So next Sunday, the Babylon series will talk about what effect the encroaching government may have on your lives and your beliefs. So come for that one. A couple of save your dates, save the dates notices here. First of all, Pete, do you want to talk about Saturday night, or you want me to? Pete seldom misses an opportunity to talk.
Saturday night, we're going to have a spaghetti dinner with spaghetti, two kinds of sauces, bread, meatballs, and a salad, and a cassata cake. So, come one and all. It is free. That's the best part. Secondly, the following week, on Tuesday, March 5th, is Shrove Tuesday, or better known as Fat Tuesday. And we will be serving sausages and different kinds of pancakes like buttermilk, blueberry, chocolate, strawberry, mystery pancakes. It's kind of like things you have at Christmas. You get things spiked. We'll all go home happy. We'll also have different kinds of punch keys, and again, this one is also free. Both dinners are open to the public. So if you know friends or neighbors or relatives, please have them come join us, because we're going to end up with a whole lot left over and a whole lot for you guys to take home and freeze and have, you know, throughout the year.
So some of you may remember a month or two ago that Ray Bisogni was so proud of his new snowblower. I mean, he got up here and he just was overjoyed about the fact that generous gifts from the congregation enabled us to get a snowblower. Well, so as you walk out to Parish Hall today, look to a table on your left, and you will see Pete Meckes' new joy in his life. There's a new grill for him to use at Shrove Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Peace be with you.
I don't know about you guys, but hearing Peter describe Shrove Tuesday's menu, I believe I'd like to fast forward right now. But in lieu of that, let's present our offerings to the Lord.
Jerusalem, what a blessed day, the Lord God has
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of his friends and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let's join together and pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are given for his people. I invite you to come in faith and receive what he has provided. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. Blood of Jesus given for you. Amen. The joy of Jesus' death and resurrection for you is in his blood.
blessing of the Lord Jesus guard your life and keep you in his hands. Let's conclude our time together with a post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
folks, Punxsutawney Phil was right. I have daffodils up at my house. So with great anticipation, depart in peace and serve the Lord.